Psalm 33, verses 1 through 22. This is the reading of God's Word. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with lyre. Sing praises to Him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouse. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart for generation to generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From His dwelling place, He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all, He who understands all their works. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope for His loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart rejoices in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have hoped in you. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you would grant all of us an ear to hear your word. Oh, as we hear your word, let our faith grow and we will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless us that your word will be preached correctly and all of us will hear it, understand it, and believe it, and obey it to bring glory and honor to you. We pray that you will receive all the glory. We thank you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to Him with harp of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. He's calling the righteous ones, O you righteous ones, to praise our God. Who are these righteous ones? Of course, it refers to personal moral excellence, but the Bible uses the word righteous more in terms of the relationship with God. A righteous person is the one who depends on God, one who trusts God, and one who relies on God, who put confidence in God. But the Bible tells us that there is no such person in this world. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, not even one. But our gracious God has accomplished the salvation through which his people are becoming and becoming and will become righteous in his sight. God has set apart these people as his people and made covenant with them. Exodus 19 verse 6a, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. God used Israel as such people typologically in the Old Testament. But when we come to the New Testament, it becomes very clear that the righteous ones are the ones that are justified in Jesus Christ. Those whose sins have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and those to whom the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ has been imputed. And all this is through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteous has been set apart in Jesus Christ and became the priests in the kingdom of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9a, the Apostle Peter here is speaking about the church. And he says, but you, church, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. So now, only in Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, and because of Jesus Christ, one becomes righteous in God's sight. No one is righteous apart from Jesus Christ and faith in him. Galatians chapter 2 verse 16, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. See, you need New Testament to truly understand the Old Testament. Because if you just read the Old Testament, just read this Psalm without Christ, you might be confused thinking that you are righteous because you come to church or you do this or you do that. But no one is righteous apart from Christ. It is very clear a man is not justified by the works of the law. By the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. I know you hear it so many times in this church, but we forget. You know, even people who come to church, some Lord's days, they feel they have more right to come to God because they did this or they did that. You know, I read my Bible last week, so they feel more confident to come to God, as if that works, justifies him or her. No. Without Christ, really doesn't matter what you have done. By those works, you deserve to go to hell forever. We need to hear this until we die. We are justified by our Lord Jesus Christ. And as such righteous people, we ought to praise God and enjoy Him forever. So, the writer of this psalm calls righteous ones to praise our God. Now, I want to stay here a little. I mean, I'm not that long, but talk about praise. Praise, this is something we do to God. It's not something God is doing to us. We praise God. So God is the one who hears our praise. You and I, we are not the hearer of the praise to God. This is why I'm somewhat uneasy about this whole business of selling praise albums and CDs and you listening praise through radio. Because there is danger. You might become the hearer of the praise rather than praising God. Because praise, true praise, is to God and God only. And I'm not saying that you are like that when you hear praise from radio or CDs, but there is danger. Praise is not to you. And just because you like certain praise song, that doesn't mean God likes it. We need to really think about these things. Our psalm says that we are to praise our God with a new song. When we read the Bible, whenever God accomplished something new in His redemptive history, God's people praise Him with a new song. This is our heavenly reality. We will sing a new song for what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and what He has accomplished for us. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Praising God. In the Old Testament, the musical instruments were mobilized. Skillful players played those instruments masterfully. A skillful singer sang beautifully and brilliantly, as best as possible in this world. You see, even that is typological. In the Old Testament, that was how it was, but in the New Testament, does God only accept praise that is best in the worldly standards? No. In the New Testament, all is about Jesus Christ. God accepts our praise in Jesus Christ, no matter how bad it might be. And of course, we need to do our best. But that is not why it is accepted by God. It's not because it is so well sang or so the music is so well written or played. Only in Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 12, Jesus says, "I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise." Jesus says, "I will sing your praise among my brethren." Do you see it? Jesus sang the praise to our God perfectly. That in your place. He did it for you. He praised God perfectly for you. So that your mediocre praise, God will be pleased with in Christ. Thus, even if you are a tone deaf or lacking of musical abilities, you are able to praise God, and in Christ, God will hear your praise and be glorified. But only in Jesus Christ. Because the most masterful level in this world is still not good enough for God. Only in Jesus Christ it becomes worthy of God to hear it. This is why in our church, we all praise God together. Some people think that our church is without a choir. They're wrong. We do have a choir. All of us are in the choir. Whenever we sing together, it is our choir singing. In the Old Testament, only the Levites were able to be a member of the choir. But in Jesus Christ, all of you are the Levites. All of you are the priests of our God. Nobody, brothers and sisters, listen very carefully. Nobody, especially the choir director, can tell you that you cannot be in the choir. Don't let anybody tell you that. Who are they to tell me that I cannot be in choir? I cannot praise my God. Just because what I'm tone deaf? Just because I cannot sing well? Who has a right to tell me not to praise God? Just because when I sing, then people will hear wrong tone and it just, I ruin the song? How dare they tell me not to praise God? When church is praising, I want to praise. And there's no one who will tell me not to do it. I will not go to that kind of church. I mean, if it's my choice not to praise, but why do I choose not to praise? We are all priests of God. We are all Levites in Christ. We praise. And really doesn't matter. Just make sure that it comes from your heart. So remember, you are already in God's choir in Jesus Christ now and forever. That is your present reality. There are many things I want to say about that, but I have to go on. Because I see some really unbiblical things about choir. Now from verse 4, the writer of this psalm tells us the reasons for praising our God. And the reason is that we are able to completely believe and trust and depend on our God. We are able to trust Him completely and trust ourselves to Him completely. And we are able to depend on Him completely. He rules and governs and controls all things orderly and justly. That's the reason. And he explains from verse 4. Verse 4 and 5. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. That's why we should praise our God. The word of God is upright, and all of his work is done in faithfulness. God does all things by His word. Listen to the words that describes God in those two verses. Describe His work and His word. We're upright. Faithfulness, righteousness, justice, and loving kindness. Especially the loving kindness. That word can be found in verse 5, verse 18, verse 22. It is a Hebrew word that is difficult to translate in just one word. Thus, the English translation has always loving kindness. It is love that never changes. Steadfast love. Loving kindness. Covenant loyalty, unfailing love, This is why we are able to trust our God completely, and we are able to depend on Him completely. So, praise God. That's verses 4 and 5. Verse 6 through 9. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap, and lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. See, with God's upright word, He created all things, and with His word, He controls and rules all things. He speaks, and it is done. He commands, and it stood fast. Thus, our God is so dependable and trustworthy. Thus, praise God. Verse 10 and 11, the Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart from generation to generation. God controls and rules all nations. See, their counsels, their plans, their wills, their purposes, and their principles, God nullifies, He frustrates, abolishes, hinders, crushes, and stops. Only God's counsel stands forever. Only His plans are forever. Isaiah 46, verse 10 and 11, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country, truly I have spoken. Truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. Surely I will do it. Thus, God is dependable and trustworthy. And we are able to entrust all things to Him. Praise God. Verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritances. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. In other words, the verse continues, the people whom God has chosen for His own inheritance. You know, you might be confused by just reading the first half. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, as if that nation chose God. Thus, the verse continues, the people whom God has chosen for His own inheritance. His own inheritance, God's inheritance, is His people, is you and me. You know, even in worldly sense, long time ago, father will look at many sons he has. He say, they are my inheritance. Yeah. They will go out and make money or whatever, and because of his sons that he will be well. Just like it. Well, not just like it, but the same principle. God's inheritance, God says, it's my people. You are His inheritance. Just like God is my inheritance, your inheritance. Possessing God and God possessing us. That's the reality of heaven. The nation that trusts and depends on God and entrusts all things to Him is truly blessed. Verse 13 through 15, the Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From His dwelling place, He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all He who understands all their works. See, God controls and rules all men. God looks and sees all things. God preserves and governs all things. God fashioned the hearts of all men. He knows all their works. Thus, God is so dependable and He's trustworthy. Praise God. See, the writer of this psalm tells how God is and what He has done, and he shows them as the reason for you to praise God. That's what this psalm is all about. God rules all His creation. God rules all nations. God rules all of His people. God rules all men. But this reality is not visible right now. Thus, God requires of you a faith. Do you see God controlling everything out there? No. That's why when you see the things that happens in the world, you might even think that, where is God? But the truth is, God is controlling all things. And when you understand the Bible, God told us that when that time for Jesus coming back, world will be this way. More and more people will go against God's will, deny God and reject Him. This is why you need faith. You need to believe what the Bible tells you. But it's not something that sinner can do unless the Holy Spirit gives that person grace. We must believe. The wicked. Psalm 94 verse 7. They have said, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob pay heed. Psalm 10 verse 11, the wicked, he says to himself, God has forgotten. He has hidden His face. He will never see it. No, God sees all things. Everything is going according to His will, His plan. But you say that to a non-believer and they will laugh at you. They will always ask you a question. If God is good, then why all these bad things happen in this world? And I hope you have a good answer for that question. All those things happen because it is God's will. This is a fallen world. This world is under God's judgment. And when you look at what is happening, those bad things, compared to the judgment that God should have poured out to this world, oh, it's very good, actually. It's not something that you should complain that it is so severe. No, it's actually better than how it's supposed to be. Gracious God. Just think about the sin that is being committed. Oh man, can you just picture yourself, you know, you'll be hovering over the sky and look each houses and the filthy things that they do. God is gracious. If I'm God, I will destroy this world right there. But God is patient. Long-suffering. Do not see things according to what world tells you or according to what world says how you see things. You gotta go to the Bible. Oh, God is in control. He knows what He's doing. And everything is according to His plan. Verse 16 and 17. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Many horses. It's a typological, right? Because back then, when this psalm was written, how do you express your strength as a warrior? Well, your horse. How many horses your army have? But we will not use horses to depict the strength and power today. This is why you need to understand. It's a Old Testament language. So, horses. It points to the strength. If the Bible were written today, it might say many nuclear weapons. But we do not live by the worldly power. Even this requires our faith. Because without faith, you will see those kind of power in the world and you might think, whoa, I need that. No, that kind of power all put together will not save you. Verse 18 and 19, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope for His loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Notice again this verse. These verses are written in terms of this world, a typological language. The worldly deliverance from famine and death point to the eternal salvation, eternal deliverance. But in the psalm, you know, it uses the language that is of this world. So salvation is salvation from famine. But that's not true salvation. That's a typological salvation. So you have to understand, okay, that points to the eternal salvation. And the eternal salvation cannot be accomplished by worldly power and strength. Because if a salvation from famine, then you could solve that problem by worldly money. But understand that famine points to the heavenly reality, the eternal reality. How you are saved from sin and from this world. This is how the Old Testament is written. But it becomes really clear when you come to New Testament. So you might wonder, you know, when you look at Old Testament, Christians were very rich. But how many rich Christians do you find in the New Testament? What happened? Well, I've been telling you, you need to understand how the Bible is written. It is only by what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and what He has accomplished for us. That's how we are saved. Luke chapter 18, verse 24 through 27. And Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard is it for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." You know, even though I'm running late, I need to explain because I think so many people misunderstand this passage. Look, how hard is for a rich person to go into heaven? Well, it is as hard as camel to go through the eye of the needle. Now, what is the possibility that a camel could go through the eye of the needle? None. So rich person cannot go into the kingdom of God. Now, then who is able to go in? You might say, oh, then poor people. No. You have to understand, At the time, disciples, they understood like Old Testament. So the rich is actually blessed by God. Poor is a judgment. That's how the disciples understand. And here's God saying, rich man cannot go into the kingdom of God because it's harder than the camel to go through the needle of the eye of the needle. So, disciples, they hear this and they go, wait a minute. Rich, who is actually blessed of God, if they cannot go into the kingdom of God, then who can? That's why the disciple asks, who is able? Who can be saved? If it is hard for the rich man, then it is harder for the poor. That's the point. Which means nobody is able to go into the kingdom of God. That's the point. It's not saying the poor people have a better chance. No, actually, it's the opposite. In Old Testament thinking, if a rich man cannot go in, then poor, oh, forget it. So, disciples, they said, then who is able then? If a rich man cannot do it, they didn't say, oh, they did not say when they hear this from Jesus, they go, oh, if a rich man cannot go in, then, oh, maybe then poor will. No, they flat out say, then who is able? Because in their mind, if a rich man cannot do it, then nobody is. And look at what Jesus says. But he said, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. What is he saying? Only God is able to save. Only through God and his act, anybody, through God, can go in. Not anybody that came out wrong. But I hope you get the point. Only God can save. Thus, we are able to depend on God in all things, entrust all things to Him. So, praise God. We come to the last portion of that Psalm, verse 20 through 22. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according to as you have hope in you. We have hope in you. God is our help and shield. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him and I am helped. Therefore my heart exalts, and with my song I shall thank Him. Our soul waits for the Lord. We trust in His holy name. We hope in God. These words, wait, trust, and hope. Some might understand these words as passive, but we actively wait, and we actively trust, and we actively hope for God and in God. We put our hope in God and experience His loving kindness in our lives. So far, the psalmist says that God, He controls all creation. He controls all nations. He controls all of His people. And He controls all men. And He's in control. Thus, He is dependable and trustworthy. And you go, amen? No, not so quickly. You have to come to the New Testament. Because this psalm says God is trustable and dependable. But there is no Jesus Christ. See, I'm just teaching you how to read Old Testament. Now the new creation is accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. All the promises of God are accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. And His cross perfectly witnesses God's steadfast love and His covenantal loyalty. Thus, for us who live in the New Testament, more than the fact that God rules and controls all things, yes, that's true too. But we look at Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He has accomplished. We look at His cross and we look at His kingdom, and it is crystal clear from His cross and from His kingdom that our God is dependable and trustworthy. That is the point of the Bible. You got to look at the whole Bible. We are truly able to trust Him and entrust all things to Him. The eternal salvation has been accomplished for us. So yes, we look at the creation, how God is sovereign over all creation. Yes, that helps me. And I could trust Him. But I look at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I have no doubt how much God loves me and how much He cares for me. I have no doubt that He will take care of me. And I look at Jesus Christ and His cross and His kingdom, and I know I could trust Him. I could depend on Him. And I praise Him. Looking at Jesus automatically leads me to praise. In this world, the things that Romans chapter 8 verse 35 mentions might happen to us. It says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sore? See, the point of that verse is not saying that when you trust God that these will not happen. No, the point of that verse is that these things will happen in your life. But that is not the proof that God doesn't love you anymore. That's the point. Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sore, even if these things might happen in our lives, even if we might die in famine, just like our Psalm verse 19 says, we are certain, Romans 8:38, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh yes, He is dependable and trustworthy. Look at Jesus Christ and what He has done. What He has accomplished for you. And when you look at it, you will praise God. Praise our God now and forever. So please, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, understand God's intention in writing the Old Testament and the New Testament. What is His message? When you put all this thing together, it's Jesus Christ. And when you see Him through the Bible, and when you see Him, what He has done for you, there's no doubt. Oh, we could entrust our lives to Him. He's not going to disappoint us. He will never discourage us. So we praise. You know, you might go through some hard times right now. And I don't know in detail of what goes on in your life. You might even think, like, what is wrong? God, what are you doing? And if you are alive and controls all things, then why are these things happening in my life? You might even going through those kind of stuff. But look at what Jesus Christ has done for you. Do you have any doubt how much He loves you? Then why this suffering? Well, Bible tells you why. God wants you to be like Christ. That's His focus. And in order for you to be like Christ, you need to go through suffering. And you need to learn how God works. And He did not come as a man 2,000 years ago so that we could be successful in this world. But He came so we could be successful in heaven. He did not lie to you. He never promised this world. But He promised the other world. Don't live your life. Don't say this thing as if Jesus lied to you. He did not. He will never lie to you. But He says, compared to the glory that is coming, present suffering is nothing. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. It clearly shows how much You love us. That love is most shown in Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He has accomplished for us. Let our focus be on Christ. And let us give all the glory and thanksgiving. Let us praise You now and forever. We thank You and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.